Hey friends, you're tuning into Wisdom and Wellness with Wit, a podcast for your emotional, physical, mental, and spiritual well-being, a space to learn and grow, to be encouraged and maybe even challenged just a little bit. Let's journey together and explore what it means to experience the wholeness God has for each of our lives.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's your girl, Wit. That's a weird way to start a podcast. What's up? It's your girl, Wit. I don't know why that took me out right now. I hope you're doing well. I hope you're having a good week. Happy Friday. I so look forward to getting to spend my Fridays with you. What a treat for 2022. I have started today kind of in an emotional place. Have you ever had those mornings where you just wake up and just are really thankful? Nothing necessarily has happened. Like, it's not like I got some good news or anything, but I just woke up and I just felt like I really have been sensing the presence of God today. And just, I don't know, it's been a sweet morning. And what I wanted to talk about today is something that has hit pretty close to home for me. And it is this thought or this idea of being hidden versus being unseen. And I thought this was going to be an easy topic for me to talk about just naturally, because I just feel like it's something I've just encountered so much in my life. But I've been hitting a lot of walls on just what to say, on what to share. It's been kind of hard for me to kind of fully articulate this, even just as I was kind of trying to come up with, you know, a script and just write out what I wanted to share. And I think what's hard is this very sobering thought that when it comes to people, we can and we will be forgotten and ignored and unseen. And I don't want to just zoom by this fact and kind of just get to like the really positive parts. I really want to just take a moment and honor the fact that there have been so many times in our life when, you know, maybe you got picked last, or maybe that guy or girl that you really liked ended up dating somebody that was more attractive, that did have the better personality that you wish you had. Maybe your job might have given a role to somebody else who wasn't quite as deserving as you. Maybe your family might have been a place for you growing up that felt really traumatic and chaotic, or maybe you've experienced a friend or a loved one that has just walked away from you and chosen to think badly of you. Maybe you've lived a life just littered with trauma and pain and unsafety, and it seems that those around you just have it so much easier. Maybe currently, right now, you are living in some of your worst nightmares and you just can't seem to get out. And that is so real and so painful. And I just want to honor the fact that some of you listening have really gone through some unimaginable pain. It doesn't seem right or just. There wasn't anything you did to deserve it. And yet you're having to navigate that right now. There are some of you who have lived your life following Jesus with a heart after him and have felt like you have always kind of fallen short of what you had hoped or believed for in your life. Nothing has ever really seemed to pan out. You have this jaded view of anything ever going the way you had hoped or prayed for. What you've dreamed of and prayed for happens to everybody else around you, but it never quite happens for you. There's a podcast I've been listening to repeatedly every week after one of my friends sent it to me last year. And it's Mia Fields talking, and she's a worship leader, and she kind of grew up in the Hillsong community, and she's written a lot of really amazing songs. And she talks about her journey of singleness, and she got married in her, I think she was 35, she said. And so in church years, that means you're kind of elderly when you've been single for that long. I am 33 and single, praise God. But she said something that has really stuck with me. And it's been something that I've been processing just a lot with. And so she goes into this thought. She talks about the enemy knows the plan for your life the same way that God knows the plan. And while God wants to take it from glory to glory, the enemy wants to damage your filter so much that you can't even see the glory of God, that you can't even tell the counterfeit from the real thing. And I believe that there's really been a good amount of time that that's definitely been my thought. And I think it's probably been one for a lot of you as well. If who I believe God to be is one who is untrustworthy, that he has forgotten about me and he has let me down, then I will easily characterize a season of hiddenness as a season of being unseen. And I really feel the weight of saying that. Like, even as I say that, I just kind of get this pit in my stomach, because I think back to the times, just for my own story, and I know you can just insert your story here, the times that I've just been weeping and in my room and honestly just wanting everything to just end because it felt so hopeless and I felt so helpless. There's been a narrative that I have personally believed that life will just always be a disappointment, and I have to learn to accept that and be okay with living my life for God with no expectation of anything necessarily great. There have been times I've stopped believing for healing with my chronic illness, times that I thought I should just learn to accept that I would never be married. I would never have relationships as I have desired, friendships that I've desired. I would never accomplish anything noteworthy for the kingdom. My filter became so distorted. And even though I wasn't, you know, outright saying it out loud, deep down, I really believe that God didn't have much for me. And if I was to be a follower of him, that this road would always kind of be bumpy, and to be okay with almost good, because, you know, there are so many people who have it so much worse than me. Probably some of you listening, like, you have gone through things that I can't even imagine. But yet I still had that thought. Everything that happened to me would then be filtered into that narrative. So if the guy didn't like me, well, why would he? You know, I'm not getting married, so I don't want to put hope in that. If my health got worse, why wouldn't it? I didn't really believe healing was in my future. If the friendship ended or got cut off, that sounds about right, because healthy relationships weren't something I was necessarily designated to have. And so the truth is that none of this even comes close to the heart of God. I know that. You know that. But because I believed it, and it is still something I have to consistently work with God. But because I believe that, that was my concrete reality. That's what I believed. And when I believe and I subscribe to the counterfeit, I am actually agreeing with the exact opposite of the character and the nature of God. There are a lot of examples in the Bible where, you know, different men and women are hidden and they are protected by God, but it very much looks and feels to them like they are unseen or are even being punished. And I don't know about you, I've heard people talk about this. I really have. But for some reason, things have stuck, but then also there have just been unhelpful seasons for me where I just haven't really been able to kind of put a grasp on why it is that I've been so attached to this narrative, to this faulty filter. I've been really interested lately with the story of Elijah. And so in 1 Kings, give us a little backstory. King Ahab is the current ruler. And in the Bible, he's described as doing more evil in the sight of the Lord than all that were before him. So he was an awful king. And he was married to Jezebel. And together, they built many places of worship for gods and for Baal. And all of these evil activities. And they had all the prophets of the Lord killed. So Elijah, who is a very well-known prophet to us and in biblical times, he is called out of the mountains of Gilead, and he warns King Ahab that there will be no rain for the next 3.5 years until he says so. That man had obedience because God told him to, and he did it. I would be terrified. So then God tells Elijah right after to flee to Cherith and to hide there. So in Cherith, Elijah is by himself. The Bible talks about how he had a brook to drink from, and he's fed every day by ravens. Okay, so when we stop and think about this, like when I think about this from just my feeble human brain, I see a man who has been brave and courageous and obedient, even in the midst of adversity and possible death, right? By standing up to this horribly evil king. He's then told by God to go to Cherith, which the word Cherith comes from the Hebrew meaning to cut off or cut down. This name also signifies a cutting or a separation. So after he's been obedient, he's told to go somewhere that he will be cut off. And all there is a brook that's about to dry up. And his meals will come from a bird that is known to be very unclean and not well thought of. So to me, it seems like Elijah is being punished. Right? That's what it seems like to me. I'm not some crazy Hebrew scholar or anything, but, you know, I know how to read and study. So think about it. If we think about it in our own terms, God told me to do something. I was obedient. Maybe you've been obedient in this season. You've made difficult decisions to follow where God is leading. You've been asking God. You've been trusting him. And then you lose your job, or you can't pay rent, or your relationship that you really thought would end in marriage ends. There's a death of somebody you love. All of a sudden, there's all this turmoil in your life. And you think, is this punishment? Like, God, did I do something wrong? Why is this happening? I've been doing what I thought you wanted me to do. I've been integrous. I've, you know, done as well as I can to have noble character. I've taken the high road when I didn't have to. I've been working on the things that you've been wanting me to work on. And yet, there's still been all of this tragedy and loss and disappointment, and things didn't go the way that I necessarily thought it would. We see that there's others in the Bible who have this, we'll call it this Cherith season or this cutting off season in their lives. We see all throughout scripture in the lives of God's hidden servants. God hid Joseph in a prison, you know, before he went to the palace. He hid Moses in the desert for almost a third of his life before he led the people out of Egypt. He hid David in the mountains from Saul before he was recognized as king. He hid Paul for a few years in Arabia after his conversion, before he became this well-known missionary. And so here we see God hiding Elijah at Cherith before his great life contribution at Carmel. And we'll get to that. You know, there are countless lessons that we can take from this story, but I want to, for this episode, focus on the fact that Elijah did everything he was asked to do. He was obedient. And then he was sent to a place where he was cut off. If you know the story, Elijah comes back 3 years later, and he essentially embarrasses all the prophets of Baal as they tried to prove that their gods could start this fire on the altar. They cut up the bull. You know, they spent hours calling to their God and nothing happened. And Elijah is a baller and he even makes fun of them like a boss, saying, maybe you need to yell louder. Maybe they didn't hear you. And when that proves to be completely worthless, we read that he takes 12 stones. He takes the bull as a sacrifice, and then he drenches the entire altar with 12 pitchers of water, and he builds a trench around that, and that's filled with water as well. So it's completely drenched. And then we read, as he prayed, fire came down and burnt up everything, including all the water in the altar. Elijah then goes up to Mount Carmel and prays that rain would come as God had spoken. And we see, after he has a servant go out and check 7 times, a cloud formed, and Elijah knew that his prayer had been answered. This miraculous story, right? He had to rely so intently on the God that he believed in, because if not, this man was about to be murdered viciously. Reading this, we get to see how it did end. But imagine being Elijah and living this out. Imagine knowing that God has such a large plan and purpose for you, but you are living in Cherith. I've heard it described like this, that Cherith is a place where God actually removes you for a specific purpose. It can be a time of protection, a time of immense care. It can even be a time of training and focus. Elijah had this Cherith season because he was headed to Mount Carmel. Trusting God with this tiny brook. He didn't even get a river. He got a little brook that didn't produce much water and was actually drying up. And then, you know, God didn't just rain down manna from heaven to feed him. He said that he would be fed by ravens. And we don't know what they fed him, but ravens were scavengers. Like, they ate just the death and the gross, whatever things they could get their claws on, that's what they ate. Right? And so this gave him this much needed time with God. Because to show the most evil regime how powerful his God was through this impossible miracle, he had to believe that for himself. He had to know God to be that for himself. If I was Elijah, are you kidding me? I would have begged to not go to Cherith. I would have complained and cried and asked, God, why am I being punished? I would have thought God was getting rid of me. He sent me out there and then forgot about me. I mean, come on, you know you would too. I would have fought and pushed and questioned him every single step of the way. And we have all done that, right? No shame, no condemnation. We are human. We have all done that. In times where we have felt this cutting off happening, and it doesn't make sense. Like, it's pain. It is painful. It's hurtful. And we don't get the full picture in advance. The filter that we've seen through before is now what kicks in. And so if we've been partnering with God's truth, that is what we'll lean into. But if we have believed the counterfeit, that God will leave us and forsake us, we might almost kill ourselves in our Cherith season rather than noticing how God might be hiding us for something down the road. we're not going to get all our questions answered in this time, which I do wish we did. But when we lean into who God is and we trust what he says, then we do know that he has such good purposes and plans for us. I'm not saying it's easy. And I'm also not saying it's this one-time thing. This is this journey that we walk with God our entire time while we're on this earth. I want to challenge you and ask you, only because this is what I've been doing to myself as well. What are some faulty beliefs that you are believing about God? How do you know if they're true or not? Well, the most important and core habit is simply by reading scripture. It sounds so easy, and we've heard so many people say it, but it's because it's where you have to start. We renew our minds daily by bathing in the word and arming ourselves with truth. We know that the enemy will always be trying to damage our filter. He will always. So if we know what truth says, and then we hear the enemy speaking, we won't even be swayed to believe him because we already know what our Father says about us. And my sweet friend Michelle says, we can't afford to have a thought about ourselves that our Father doesn't think about us. It's damaging, and it just wastes our time, honestly, right? How many years have I wasted just believing things about myself that weren't even true? But again, because that's the filter I looked through, that was my reality. We also can share with trusted friends and mentors that lead us closer to Jesus by reminding us of who he is and what he says about us. You know, if you have friends who are struggling themselves, I humbly suggest don't go into them. Not because they don't have anything valid to say, but we want to be encouraged and covered and led and mentored by people who are going where we want to get to. So if you are struggling with believing what scripture says, go to somebody who has immense wisdom and who has gone through these questions themselves and have worked through that and can really help you on that journey. We have to take every thought captive and challenge it to the authority of scripture. If God didn't say it, it is not true. And therefore, we can just throw that in the trash. I also want to challenge you to ask God what he might be doing in you in this season of hiddenness. What is he teaching you? What is he saying? Maybe he's opening up your calendar so you just simply have time to spend with him. Maybe you didn't get that gig that you really wanted. Maybe you didn't get that opportunity that you just had been praying for. Because maybe he's just clearing the way, because there are some things coming that he has for you, but you won't be able to handle it well until you've spent time with him. How is your character being developed? How is your faith being increased and your worship and your knowledge of God deepening? How is your filter being cleaned up and your perspective being changed daily, hourly? In the years of dealing with my health, I keep being reminded of the intimacy that I have built with Jesus. And I feel like I know him immensely deeper. And my love for him is so much greater than it's ever been. And I have so much more to go with him. But my filter and my narrative that has been developed over the years is consistently being challenged by scripture and who God has said that I am. And again, not perfectly, I have to bring it to him every day. There are some things that I think once we bring to the feet of God, then we move on. I think there are some other things that might take longer. And for me personally, this narrative that I have acquired over my lifetime is something that I daily have to give over to God. I have this history with Jesus, and I'm learning to deepen my trust in him. It's a daily renewal. And I mean daily because, like I said, there are times that I can easily fall back into this faulty thinking, and my actions blatantly reflect it. But I'm so thankful that I have some incredible people in my life to keep me in check. And then I just get back with Jesus, and I remind myself of who he is, and that I know his voice, and that I know whose I am. I am a daughter of the King. I am the apple of his eye. I hope you can be encouraged, because we all go through these times of hiddenness. And I know that when we go through them, we feel like we are the only ones. But we see throughout Scripture that some of the most remarkable people in the Bible go through these immense seasons of hiddenness. And I'm so thankful for the times that God has hidden me. Of course, it's easier to say that when you get to the other side. And I definitely have been in some areas. And then I definitely think I'm still in a season of hiddenness for some other areas in my life. So it is a journey. It is always a journey. It is always a process. Psalm 57 says, "Be good to me, God, and now I've run to you for dear life. I'm hiding out under your wings until the hurricane blows over. I call out to High God, the God who holds me together. He sends orders from heaven and saves me. He humiliates those who kick me around. God delivers generous love, and he makes good on his word." I hope this can encourage you, and I love you all. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Like what you hear so far? Click the subscribe button and give me a rating and review. And let's keep this conversation going. You can find me on social media at Whitney Wood Music. You can find any of my latest singles out anywhere that you stream or purchase music under Whitney Wood, as well as my latest passion project. It's a kids EP called BB and Bubba. I'll have the links below so you can find them. Have a great week, everybody.